When the state gets involved in the property tax debate, the debate gets complicated. You're listening to SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies podcast. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. South Dakotans are feeling the impact of high prices. Many have called on their state legislators to help with ongoing tax relief. For today's Dakota Political Junkies analysis, Gene Hunhoff and Linda Duba offer insight into the promises of tax relief. Let's start here with Linda Duba.
Four of the last five summer studies have been around property tax. There is great concern, especially in targeted counties around the state. The problem that we have is that the legislature really doesn't control what's assessed. That's done by your county assessor. It's determined what you need for your school district. And so people in the state keep coming back to the legislature saying, solve this problem. Well, if the legislature takes action, it could be to raise taxes in some way. Could be the sales tax. It could be a different tax. So what we would be doing is shifting the burden from property tax to another tax. And, you know, that requires thought and it requires good government at all levels. So I think it'll be interesting as this session goes on to see what these, you know, were there 11 solutions coming out of that property tax group, and then the governor's got one, and I'm sure we'll see more. So we're just getting warmed up in week three, but watch, listen.
Gene Hunhoff,
lots more happening.
What are you hearing as you listen in about what legislators are saying about property taxes at this stage?
You know, what I'm hearing, it all goes back to this soundbite that says, these are the people's money. You know, this is South Dakota citizens' money. That's what property tax is. That is what any tax is about in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And I think they keep echoing that at every meeting that our committee meeting, certainly at joint appropriations on a daily basis. I hear that constant reminder, it's the people's taxes. And I'm going to go back to what Linda had just said. You know, it reminds me of a civic lesson in the sense that, yes, voting is a privilege. And part of that privilege is that in a civic-minded individual, we need to keep track of what's going on, both at the local level, state level, and national level. And when things aren't being paid attention to, and we hear about the other soundbite, is that government getting into our private lives. Well, they're not happy because the people at the local level are unhappy. They're not attending meetings. They're not providing input. They're talking to their legislators. Then the legislators come and they say, well, this is what my constituents are saying. We're too high. I'm losing my home and doing all of this. But then if you ask the question, do you go to those meetings, not necessarily the legislatures, but your citizens to hear that side of the story or provide their input or raise question about budgets? And the answer is, well, no, they don't really understand it. Well, to me, that's an oxymoron. You don't understand what's going on, so it's bad. I'm not saying it's right. But then get engaged and get engaged at the local level because that's where the changes can be made. Otherwise, you go to the state and then you got government that's telling the counties, telling the school boards what they have to do.
Yeah.
So, Senator Hunhoff, how come so many lawmakers are picking up the flag and running with it then?
Because I think that that's right now, that's the interest, because I think everything that's happening nationally in our country and impacting on what you get for a paycheck, what you have for income is changing, what inflation is doing to our economy. Mm. I've been doing some listening to multiple sources and, you know, you're seeing big industries are cutting back. I know in our own Yankton community, one of the major manufacturers shut down for 2 weeks over Christmas. That certainly has an impact. And then I got to thinking, and Linda, let's go back to remember when we put the 0.3% reduction in the sales tax?
How do I answer? Yes.
Yeah. The answer was that if we did that, we're going to be reinvesting in our economy because people are then going to start spending because they're saving on the sales tax. So they're going to reinvent, they're going to buy more and more. And what are we seeing? That's absolutely not the case. The sales tax is not, it's not where it needs to be. So that philosophy that we were sold on that, we're going to just reinvest, that's not the case because right now people are seeing much inflation. You look at the grocery prices, gas has been doing well. I have to say this. So you can travel, but you probably can't buy a lot of goodies at the convenience store and you probably can't do some other things. But I think we are hurting in South Dakota, and the only way they can react is what they see is that tax bill. And that just frustrates them. And that tax bill is school and it's county expenses. So that's who I attack, and that's where my concerns come from.
Representative Duba, you were nodding there when she mentioned the reduction in the sales tax. Say more. What's on your mind there?
When that came forward, that was during the COVID salad days, that's what I'm going to call it. And we had a surplus. And there was an appetite by a certain group of individuals. We're going to give a tax cut. We're going to give a tax cut. And there were several different camps. I actually voted against that bill the first time. I voted for it in the end when the sunset was put on it because I knew what was coming. So did Senator Hunhoff. The COVID dollars were going to stop flowing and we were going to see revenues level off and potentially drop, which is exactly what happened. The other concern I had about that is it sounded good. It was a great soundbite. We're giving the largest tax cut in the history of the state. You know what it meant to a regular family? About $100 a year. I called it the combine tax. If you're buying a combine, it's going to be, advantageous to you. But if you're not making a big purchase like that where sales tax is applied, you don't even know what's happening. So this thought process is that money being reinvested back into the economy was not true. So I knew the darn thing was going to pass, and the only way I was going to support it is if we put a sunset on it. And I truly wish it would have said fiscal 27, not year 27, because then we'd see it come July 1 come back.
Senator Hunhoff, at this point, anybody who is in office has to deal with the consequences and the reality on the ground of the South Dakota economy and the national economy. Nobody wants to be the people, especially Republicans, who have raised taxes. What is, and now the property tax soundbite is, give the people back, give the people as much money back as you possibly can. What's the path forward from a policy standpoint, Jean?
Well, you got to raise revenue. And how do you do that? It's through economic development. And that certainly is the fi on the firing line, with certainly ag being our number one industry in South Dakota. And certainly those individuals that are in the ag sector are very concerned about any companies coming to South Dakota that, again, their rights as property owners infringing on that. I think we need to have some kind of discussion and a meaningful one, neither one way or another, but find some middle ground that we can work with so that we bring those industries back to South Dakota. Of course, we're hearing a lot of discussion on the data centers in South Dakota, the incentives that have to be offered, and we saw the TIF in Rapid City go down, so people are paying attention. But if you don't have that, I think the interesting point says in there that was coming out, well, we've got to keep in mind our small businesses. Absolutely. I'm a small business owner, but I see what's happening in that small business. You have retailers coming in, and I'm going to use Yankton as a perfect example. We had a mall. A gentleman came in, bought the mall. He has done wondrous things. Is it small business that he's brought in? No, it's corporate. A Hobby Lobby, which is great. Five to something dollar store. And then there was another, it's a clothing store, I'm sorry. And brought those in. And then we've had some relocation of baristas and a shoe store in there, which is really good. But again, it's corporate America that has to come in. It's not your small business. If I look at small businesses in Yankton that are developing, we have some very successful ones. In fact, one was just recognized at South Dakota this year, Retailers Association, top retailer of a shoe store, two sisters that put together. But how long can that go? It's not. You don't see a lot of new businesses opening. And again, the employees, that's the other thing. When you talk economic development and you want to recruit people to South Dakota, you've got to have a business, you've got to have a school, you have to have a community that can support services, you have to have a low crime rate, and number one, you have to have a top educational system that's going to want their children in these schools in South Dakota go on into post high school and then stay and work. I mean, it's not one thing. Everybody's got to be partnering together, and we've got to work together.
So, what is the state's role in economic development? Because that also, and we'll start with you, Linda Dubé, is something that legislators are grappling with heavily, and there are many different opinions on this. Lay some groundwork for listeners about what the state's role in economic development is, and why is it so contentious right now?
Legislature is kind of at the tail end of this. Understand, when there's economic development talk, it usually begins at the executive level with the governor's office. And so we find out about it either in the press or we find out about it in the legislature if there are, for example, some funding needs that need to come to the state to use taxpayer dollars to incentivize that business coming in. Or can it be a low interest loan through the Ready Foundation, or can it be the Future Fund, which has been a real hot button over the last couple of years? What is it that is going to bring that business? How many jobs does it promise? I thought Senator Hunhoff laid out all of the pieces that need to flow together. And in the end, it comes down to schools, services, childcare, which wages and benefits. Is that company that's coming to the state, are they going to offer competitive benefits for their employees? We know healthcare is an issue. And we see it especially in rural South Dakota, more than in like Sioux Falls, but or Rapid City or Yankton. But in the end, all of those things cost money, whether it be paid for by the company coming in or incentives from the taxpayer. So there are no easy answers. One of the things that I know the legislature is going to be asked to look at is airports. Should we? We're already building in the Sioux Falls Airport. I don't know if people know that. We're adding five gates. Well, when you add five gates, you bring in more flights. And when you bring in more flights, you attract people either from a tourism standpoint to come here and spend their dollars, or you attract companies who want to be able to move their goods and services or get people in and out of here. So we're adding to the Sioux Falls Airport. I think we're doing something in Rapid. So money is going to be an issue for those airports. We heard what the governor said, and now that'll be an interesting talking point in appropriations. And that's where the rubber meets the road, is it's first in appropriations before it goes down to the floor.
There's a lack of trust. There's a lack of trust in the Governor's Office of Economic Development by the people, because I think in any scenario, when you're giving incentives, sometimes you go awry. You have a bad deal. So I buy a pickup and I buy a lemon. Here I thought I was getting the best thing, and it's in the shop all the time. That's just one of those things. Unfortunately, with economic development, sometimes there are lemons out there. You may do all the homework that you want, but something has. And they keep going back to the shrimp factory, and that, in the greater scope of things, if you looked across states, they have much more greater losses than South Dakota has had. We've had successes, and I think it goes back to the trust to those people that are in the Office of Economic Development, the Economic Development Council that they work with, that are business-minded, very smart people that are making those decisions. What happens is we have the lack of transparency, because when you're working on deals, you can't necessarily release that information. Now, people can say, "Oh, sure you can." Well, you got corporations that's not part of the business, and you have to live by that, and you try to do the best you can. And I think if you looked at the global picture, which we haven't put together, how successful South Dakota has been as recruitment. But what has happened, we are now not successful. We are falling because we are in such a disarray in the dissatisfaction and causing controversy that we're not letting our people do their job. How do we build some transparency in there so the taxpayer has confidence in what we're doing, but we've got, good things going on, but we're just not able to share all of that at this point in time. And we haven't got a really a good listing of all the success stories we've had up to this point in time.
That's a great point. We haven't got a listing of them. And during that 4-year window of COVID, those even though those monies were coming from the Fed, those are still taxpayer dollars, correct? And I can tell you, and Gene was the chair of appropriations those entire 4 years. We were so careful and judicious and thoughtful about how we applied those dollars as one-time projects, and we looked forward to say, all right, great, we're going to give, the bioprocessing group up there in Brookings, we're going to give them $10 million. What are we going to see as the ROI? How are we going to track those outcomes? What are we going to learn from this? Those were some of the things that we were constantly looking at and making sure that we had the information that we needed so that when we made those investments, and that is economic development, when we made those investments, they were the right things to do for the state. You don't always see them on a 1-year return basis. You may take you 5, 10 years to see those come back. And the people in the seats, not the people in the legislature, but the people out there paying taxes, they want quicker returns. We live in a time of instant gratification, let's be honest.
So, what needs to happen in a post-COVID South Dakota to rebuild trust when it comes
Ooh.
specifically to economic development? What do you want to see, Jean Hunhoff? Is
Well,
it
I want to see that, not necessarily the names of the companies, but I want to see the ideas that they're working on. We're hearing things. Of course, we hear about the data centers. And again, there's got to be some middle ground, some win-win on that. And with ag, if they don't want, with some of the passage of the laws, then have them step forward. I have not heard an idea how to grow agriculture in South Dakota as to what we need. What they've done is shut things down for opportunity, but then come back and give us some solutions, which I haven't really heard from them. If it's looking at our existing producers, are they going to produce more? Are they going to buy more land up and increase their production? You don't hear any of their rationale as to how they're going to help solve this problem. And that's what I want to hear. That's the win-win that are out there. When it comes to bringing corporations, manufacturing plants, production plants in South Dakota, we've got to keep encouraging our people. We can have those discussions, as I said, they can be looking at a gamut of things. They don't have to tell us everything they're intensely working on. And I think the other thing we have to understand, you need to have incentives. And what I've been hearing, they like to know what's going around in the surrounding states. I think they need to hear about what kind of incentives are being provided for the states around us that are now able to recruit programs. I mean, I was just reading in the Press and Dakotan, the governor of Nebraska, he has just really gone on about how many things they're able to do there and what they're able to bring into the state. They lost a major meatpacking plant down in western Nebraska and working, to get that, but he's brought other things. I think we need to have more comparisons. Yes, we are a unique state, but you've got to see what we're competing with and understand if we're going to bring those businesses here. And if we want the right businesses, then go back to what I said, education, the rural communities, the business sector, they have to be a part of that. And we have to help to supplant them that those businesses want to bring those people here and their kids want to stay in South Dakota, as well as our own kids want to stay in South Dakota.
Linda, what would you add to what Jean just said about rebuilding trust and economic development in a post-COVID South Dakota?
Well, there isn't much to add to that other than the fact that I think you've got the Economic Council. You've got good people on there. You even have legislators that they're non-voting members, but they're engaged and involved on there. It's a matter, I think it truly is a matter of trust and transparency. Because what I saw during that 6-year window that I was in the legislature, there were some real, in my mind, some questionable ways that we took some of the money out of the Futures Fund and invested it. And when the people found out about it, they were not happy. And we found out about it at the same time. So it's got to be a better give and take. between our elected officials and the governor's office and the group of economic development. You've got to have constant communication going on. And you have to have people on in that group that are also being good communicators. Mm-hmm. You know, how many of us even know who's on, who are the legislators on the governor's economic council or the Ready Fund? And where's the communication coming from that,
yeah.
right? Why aren't we doing a better job? Call it marketing 101. We must do a better job, even if we don't know the companies. We need to talk about what's in it for me, the WIFM, as I like to say. How will this help people in South Dakota? And that isn't what we're doing.
Yeah.
We tried to do it in appropriations. I think we did a fairly good job. And I'm hoping that's going to continue going forward. I can tell you one thing. We had a chair of appropriations who's a nurse. And when we were looking at investing money into our nursing program, there wasn't a better person on that appropriations committee to help us understand what we were investing in and how it was going to pay back for South Dakota. Yeah, we got Senator Hunhoff. She understands the lay of the land. We need people who know what's going on in ag, in business, in healthcare, and are constantly marketing, quote unquote, communicating with the people and getting their immediate feedback. It's a conversation. It's a conversation.
Linda Duba and Jean Hunhoff have both served in the state legislature, including on the Joint Appropriations Committee. Tune in to the Dakota Political Junkies podcast every week during the legislative session. We've got a rotating panel of lawmakers, journalists, and political scientists offering the latest analysis in the top stories coming out of Pierre. Like, share, download, and comment, and send your questions to inthemoment@sdpb.org. That is our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.